Hello and welcome to another episode of the Talking Para podcast, or what I heard last week when I wasn't here could be the Talking Wires podcast. I don't know. Which one are we on? I don't know. But nah, Talking Para podcast, live on multiple channels, will be available as a podcast tomorrow on Apple and Spotify. Only the three of us today. We have Joel from League of Inches. How you going, mate?
Yeah, good, mate. Good. Halfway through the week, and I mean, we're coming off a win, but it kind of didn't feel like it in a way either. So it's a mixed emotions this week, but good to be back.
And for those viewers and listeners who saw last week, Adam is our overseas correspondent. How are you going, Adam, over there in London town?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Troy. Nah, that's joking. There's no delay. How good's technology? There's no delays. Yeah, over here, look, we've left Ireland. We're in London now. Just a couple of nights. Actually fly home tonight. So it's actually currently, I can't even see a time, 10:39 here. Fly home at 9:10 p.m. Get back to Australia at 5:15 on Friday. Look, I was planning on heading up to Brisbane as soon as I got back. I'm going to take a hard pass on that one because after the pain of watching Parramatta play Melbourne on a plane, I don't think I can get off a 24-hour flight fly to Brisbane and have to experience that again. So, you know, and also it's just unmotivating at the moment, isn't it? Look, we'll run through the game. Look, I saw limited patches of the game. Obviously being in Ireland that night and probably having one of the biggest nights of my life the night before, I tried to watch a bit of it, but I just couldn't find the motivation to it at 5 a.m. in the morning, to be honest. If it was a semi-final, I would have been there. A little bit distracted, had a bit going on, but... Anyway, I've gone back and watched the highlights. I watched the first 20. I watched the last 20 of the game as well. It's just one of those games, isn't it? We don't seem to know how to put teams away. It reminded me a lot of the Cronulla game. We rushed off to that early lead and looked like we're going to do it easy. And then all of a sudden, St. George found himself, one, well, back in the game and back in the, they got themselves in the lead quite comfortably. So full credit to the boys. I always love saying that one because they actually be able to turn this one around and get a win. But we're just not playing consistently good enough, are we? You know, if we want to go out there and challenge Brisbane, we need a completely different game to the way we played. Troy, I'll go to you first. Your thoughts, obviously, on that game on what was here Sunday morning, there Sunday afternoon?
Yeah, so before the game, it was great to see some old legends of Parramatta at Parramatta Leagues Club with the Blue and Gold Alliance reunion, their annual reunion, and that's what the hat is that I've got on at the moment, the bucket hat there. So, yeah, some pretty well-known players there. Ray Price was there, Steve Eller, David Lydiard, Peter Johnston, the hitman, he was there. Troy Campbell as well, just to name a few. So they headed over to the ground after that and did a lap of honour and also a guard of honour. And just before the game, look, I must say that I'm a little bit disappointed in the... Alan Overton sort of presentation, acknowledgement of his passing the week before, and they did something on the big screen and they read that out as well, and I think there was pretty much very limited time in which they could do it because they had the women's game on before the men's game, and pretty much as soon as the women's game finished, the boys were running on warming up, and so there just wasn't any like round of applause or minute silence. I thought they may have tried to do it before kickoff as well, but that wasn't to be. So a little bit disappointed about that. In terms of the game, I thought the same as yourself, Adam. I thought maybe we're on here. We scored the first couple of tries in the game and got off to a quick lead. It was great to see the debutant Arthur Miller-Stevens score his first try in the NRL on the wing there. And look, I think then the Dragons just come back into it and sort of we made some clumsy mistakes and... it was disappointing to let them back into the game, so much so that they were winning at one stage, and due to that, and luckily due to that no try for one of the Dragons players due to the Clint Gutherson strip, or whatever you like to call it, clumsy, loose carry, whatever you want to call it. It was no try, and then we were able to go on and score and win the game. So I thought going into the game we'd just put 40 points on them, but wasn't to be.
Yeah, for sure. Joel, I just noticed your little caption. He's looking for a bit of depth. So there's so much I could say about that one, but we're going to leave that one. And we're just going to say, what were your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, look, I agree with David Troy, what he said about Alan Overton and what the club lacked doing. I felt like he was one of those figures in the club that deserved something a bit more special than what he received. And other players wore the black armbands. But I just thought at least a minute of silence or a moment of silence or applause was needed before the game. We see most other clubs do it whenever a powerful or a well-known figure like that passes away. They all do it. So I'm just wondering and scratching my head at why that didn't occur. I was watching the game. I was keen to get up off the lounge, as I always do, and sit there. I stand there in a moment of silence and then all of a sudden it was just kick off, and I was just thinking, what's going on here? They've kicked off and not even felt like acknowledged.
I mean, before the game last year, I think it was, when the Queen passed away, before they kicked off, they had the moment silence and whatever. Mm. So, yeah, I mean, this is a Parramatta guy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not good enough. But again, I don't think we're going to hear anything about the club. They'll probably try and put a social media post up about something and probably be a bit of a smart ass about things. But who knows? I give out the game. I felt like it didn't feel like a win at all. Like afterwards, I was actually more annoyed than I would be after a loss with just how we played. And if Amoni scored that try, if it went the other way, which I wouldn't have been too concerned if it did go the other way and they ruled it a try. We were all over. It was all done against a team that wasn't playing for anything. They're not going to win the wooden spoon. They're not going to make the top eight. And we almost got our pants pulled down by a team that's been embarrassing for most of the year. So it was disappointing. There's not much to say about the game itself because, well, again, we started strong. We looked on top of the world. And I don't know what is going on with the play here, but they just don't seem to have that drive to go on with it and really own games, which is concerning.
Probably the most concerning for me is, like, looking back at some of those games, say it's disappointing we don't seem to enjoy. Like, they feel like a loss. We've had a few of them this year now. That's a sad thing for Parra fans. Like, we used to always be that team and be like, oh, we're playing so well that if we found ourselves in those arm wrestle games, we'd be like, oh, they count towards the end of the year. But, you know, to not put away the Dragons, you know, we had the Gold Coast at home the other week. We struggled against. There's some other ones as well I can think of, like, I know they end up playing pretty good football after that, but the Cowboys at home in that 24-16 win after they got beat by 60 the week before by the Tigers. There's so many games you look back on that, you know, even though the Tigers again, 28-22, when we played them, when they were getting pumped by everyone, there's so many games you look back on throughout the year and they just didn't feel like wins because we didn't play that good of football. I know, you know, we won't care if we make the finals by 2 points or whatever, but I think even the diehard, the biggest fan now, thinks that's impossible. Am I right, Troy? Is it panic stations, Troy? Is it panic stations?
As Lenny Kravitz would say, it's not over till it's over. We're not doing mathematical chances at the moment, so no, it's not over till it's over.
Okay, are we going to beat Brisbane this week?
Yes, we will.
How? Why? Who?
Well, we're going to get to that, aren't we? Or...
We are.
Yeah. So we'll get to that. But, yeah, yes, we will. There you go.
So the disappointing thing for me is we don't seem to get ourselves into a grind of playing footy. We seem to be a very lazy team this year. We obviously got ahead, that, like I said, that 10-0 pretty easily. And then we just expected things to happen for us. And when they hit us back, bang, 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 Ravalala down the right side every time. And we'll touch on those tries too. Because defensively, we actually defended them okay. But it seemed like we couldn't get ourselves back into a grind to actually want to do the tough yards to play footy to get ourselves back in the game for a good solid 30 or 40 minutes. And we obviously did it in the end. You know, and some tries come from, look, some individual... Well, I wouldn't say individual efforts. It was a nice ball by Madison, obviously, for the Paulo try. The cross-field kick was well placed by Dylan Brown. We got a bit of luck. And the other one was a nice little backline movement, but... Like I said, the frustrating thing for us is, well, that team last year that we just grinded away, like, let's look at the prelim final. We grinded away to win. What else
are we going to make? That's the worry. That's the worry as well, I feel like, this year, is that every time we've been in a position where we've been dominant and we've scored a couple of quick tries, we just decide to just throw the ball around and just for some reason score off every play and not keep doing what is working for us. And I just, as a fan, you're sitting in your lounge, you just think, you're scratching your head going, what are we doing? Like, it's clearly working because we're scoring tries on them. And all of a sudden, it just goes out the back door. We've got players who just want to score off every play, offload at will, and it just seems to go completely pear-shaped so quickly.
Yeah, that's what it's like. It's just, it's hard to watch. We'll say that, it's hard to watch. All right,
being a Para fan is always hard to watch, isn't it? No matter how good we go.
You think we get used to it, but we don't, and here we are. Here I am halfway across the world talking about a team I love, and it's half of them don't seem to care if they play finals football this year. All right, let's talk about those defensive things. Look, I've always bagged our defensive structure. I spoke about it a couple of weeks ago. We've changed it, but like you saw the effect Dylan Brown had being back, that third man in mentality of getting across and covering it. He covered obviously Ravoala once. So let's talk about the tries, because I don't want to bag out Arthur. He obviously did a pretty good job in his first game, and coming up against one of the strongest wingers in the game is never an easy task. Look, I wouldn't say he's been dropped this week. I think it was just more, we'll go to the team, we assume, but Brad's being desperate and trying to change what he can because he knows our season's on the line. The first try, obviously, they scored. He got ran over the top of it, but he got his body in a good enough position. The second one, I thought he did the right thing to cover, and Dylan just missed the tackle. And then the third one was just an excellent ball by Ben Hunt. Like, you can't predict that ball. He saw they were rushing in, saw what they were covering, and just threw that awesome pass out the back of the hand, which is probably one of the best balls I've seen to a winger in a long time. And then obviously the other one was a breakaway, so they changed sides by then. Look, is there anything you would have changed in that game, guys? Joel, anything you would have done earlier? Like, was it too much to expect a young player on debut to mark up against Ravoala, or is that just a point right with desperation?
I mean, it is, but it isn't. I think, once again, I feel like Simonsen was all over the place once again as well. And I think that's making it hard when you've got that sort of player in the form he's in and then have a rookie winger next to him. It's sort of, you could see what the way we defend, and we always want our winger to come in and jam for whatever reason. And it can work, it can't work. It's just, it gets confusing watching it because, and like this young kid has obviously been in for 1 week now, and he's been, I don't think it was necessarily dropped, but it must hurt his confidence in a way because he's just had four tries put on him. Everyone's talking about it. And we know it's not probably his fault entirely, but it would hurt him. It would be eating at him for sure. And I don't know, I'd hate to be in that position as a kid.
Look, talking to him after the game around the back of the sheds, he wasn't really talking about that. Obviously, he was disappointed about Ravoala scoring four tries on his side, but he just said, look, that's just tough. Like, that, to come up a player like that, that size and stuff like that in his first game. But he was still brimming with a big smile about making his debut. And obviously, there's probably a tiny little bit of his confidence would have been shot, but he still would have been, you know, ready to go this week if he was given the selection.
Let's not forget, too, he is a fullback. So positionally, he's a fullback. So defensively, obviously, he isn't going to be strongest or wing. We've got to expect that. It takes a while for players to adapt to that. Anyone want to go through Troy, player of the match, first of all?
Yeah, look, I think probably Bryce Cartwright in his 50th game for the Eels. Scored two tries. He was... out in and around everything again. Probably basically. Sean Russell, actually, he was pretty solid, I thought. Other than that, it was hard to say. I mean, there wasn't any real standout player, I don't think. I think everyone did a little bit of everything, but no real standout who grabbed the game and just ran with it.
Yep, Joe.
To be honest, I can't pinpoint a player that stood out for me. It was just one of those performances. Like, I really can't. I'm trying to sit here and think, and I looked at the stats and looked at replays during the day and things like that, and just there's not someone who pointed out to me that played a seven or above game, which was or is a concern, I think. So, yeah. I don't know. Because I think even though Cartwright was solid and scored some tries, he was still quite poor in terms of he was one of those ones pushing that pass after we scored a few tries and that. So if he took some of those tough carries, then I probably would have given it to Bryce. But I just think he's – and we keep hearing about him. He's one of those leaders in the group now. I just would have expected a bit more in that situation from him to take those tougher carries and not necessarily just try and be that flamboyant player, which we know he can do. He can do it marvellously, and we love the form he's in. But just, yeah, I just don't know if there's anyone good enough from the weekend.
And as Joel is feeling, he was talking about off-air, he was talking about what was the atmosphere like at the stadium, what was the crowd like. Well, they had nearly 24 or 23,500 people there. So usually if you have about that many people at CommBank Stadium, the atmosphere, you can hear it over the TV. You obviously see it at the ground, you can hear it. But there was sort of a little bit of a flat feeling during the game, and I think that's why when like the Dragons were coming back and in front, and that's probably where the little bit of the flat feeling was happening. So even though there was 24,000, nearly 600, didn't really sense that, didn't really feel like that.
Do you reckon that's some frustration from the fans from the year that has been from a very successful year in a way when we made the grand final, look like we're on the upward trajectory? And obviously people listening, put in the comments what you think as well, but do you think that's part of that frustration is now building people, as we get closer?
People losing interest, 100%. Yeah. People always lose interest. And look, the biggest thing for fans in Australia, which I've always said of all sports, is we have the biggest bandwagon fans in any country. Like, you know, you come over here and you look at a EPL game, it doesn't matter if a team's coming 17th or 16th, they're going to get the same crowds as they're coming first or second. It's really irrelevant. So you go to Australia and people losing, and I'll say now, like, you know, for me, I'll watch Parramatta, it doesn't matter where I'm in the world, every time, every game. Like, you know, last time I was over here was 2014. We had those last couple of games. It cost me multiple $100 back then to actually watch the games because I signed up for a subscription. I didn't realise. And got up and watched the games at like 2 a.m. and 5 a.m. Like, the first thing I did when I come to London in 2014 was go to the Walkabout Bar, which is sadly now closed. Anyone looking to come to London, very sad. Went to the Australian Walkabout Bar and watched Parramatta beat Manly on a Friday night. It was the very first thing I did. So, and for me the other day to kind of be like, I'm trying to word this, but trying to show someone the game of rugby league and be like 20 minutes in, oh, this is boring. And turn it off, but you know it makes it hard. So, but
not the worst thing you've subscribed to, I'm sure.
That's for another day, another show.
He's trying to get me back for all the stuff I did on your show yesterday. all right, there's something I was going to say, and you distracted me. First of all, I want to give a big shout out to my good friend, bestie for life, Weir McGreg, on his return. Obviously played limited minutes, but by all reports had an effect when he came onto the game with some good runs. And my obviously returning Dylan Brown as well. Look, he didn't set the world on fire, but he had some nice moments there in that game. Some nice stepping and obviously come across with that kick for that last try. My player of the match was actually Junior Paulo, and it's a bloke that's copped a lot of criticism lately from us. I think when the game was on the line and we had to get back into that game, he did what he needed to do as a front rower for once. You know, he 20 runs for 176 metres, 33 tackles. Whenever Junior's running close to that 200 metres, we seem to play our best footy. And I know he didn't play our best footy, but you've got to take in the fact that, you know, Regan Campbell-Gillard wasn't there as well. Obviously had multiple different front rowers. And looking through the stats, who started in the front row with him? It was Offengawi only ran for 83 metres. Then we'll go through and look at Greg ran for 50. Moretti obviously come on. Makatoa 30. Moretti 41. So he, like, Hopgood only ran for 84. So he wasn't getting a lot of help there. Like, you know, usually when we play like a Penrith or a Melbourne or one of the big teams, yeah, and you have
100.
Red's running for 200. You have Junior running for 200. You have Hopgood up around that 180. You know, usually you got Madison around that 170. He only ran for 129. Cartwright ran for 158, but usually have five or six of them constantly near that 200. To see that Junior was up there at 174 and the closest to him was Cartwright 158 and the rest of them were pretty much under 100 shows he actually put in a bit of effort and played some good footy. So Junior gets my man of the match.
Must have been the streamlined haircut and the shaven off beard.
Maybe.
Going or maybe back to he's his younger days and performing like that.
Or maybe he's just realised he's been playing like an absolute shit and not putting any effort and being lazy. So anyway, sorry, Junior. Don't meet me at the airport. I've already got enough waiting for me.
You going to call him a cat, Adam?
Am I going to call him a cat? I think I called him a cat last week multiple times, didn't I? You missed last week's show. I was very brutal last week. I've been very brutal when I've been overseas. Maybe it's a time difference. Maybe I don't know what it is, but I'll tell you this much. If I make it out of Sydney Airport alive on Friday morning, I'll be very surprised.
What flight number are you on? Sorry, who are you flying?
I'm flying into Melbourne Airport. All right, let's look at this week's game. Anything else to add from last week?
Nah, look, it might nothing just more. Give them a little bit of confidence going into this week, possibly getting a win after a few losses, but nothing else major.
Yeah, it gives you great confidence when you've won a game 26-20 and your coach decides to do this. Let's run through this week's team. Gutherson at fullback. Russell on the wing with Bailey Simonson on the wing. Now, hold that thought, guys. Bailey Simonson on the wing. Penasini in the centres with Arcee in the centres. Arcee in the centres who couldn't defend at 5'8", but now he's going to defend in the centres. Brown at 5'8", with Moses at halfback. Hopgood, Cartwright, Davey back into the team, Madison back to the bench. Paulo, Lussick, Offengawi, Moretti, Madison, Greg, Hands, 18th man is Jake Arthur. No, it's not, it's Makatoa. 19th is Wonga. 20th is Ogden, Rodwell and Murchie. All right. Anyone want the floor or do you just want me to take this?
Well.
All right, I'll take it.
Okay, go.
I'll take it. All right. Every single Parramatta fan in the world, I just walked out the street there and spoke to some bloke. He goes, "What the fuck's Bailey doing back on the wing?" I said, "I don't know, mate. I don't know." Like, you know, he goes, "I'm a big fan. I watch the Talking Para podcast. Can't wait for the first ever Talking Warriors podcast in finals." But he goes, "What is Bailey doing back on the wing? Like, didn't we want to ship that guy off over here? Like, didn't we want to get rid of that guy when he was on the wing? He was useless on the wing." Bailey Simonson, I know he hasn't been the best form in the last couple of weeks. For me, it's a desperation move by Brad. He's ran out of ideas. He's ran out of wingers. Obviously, Micah getting suspended doesn't help. But where does this go long term? Like, Bailey, who turned into one of the best attacking centres in the comp, Micah comes back next week against the Roosters. Am I correct? Yep. It's hard. Losing track of weeks.
And RCG so Micah's does back. As well.
It's a one-week fix. Why not just leave it for another week? Why not give the kid another go? Like, he's not. Who's Bailey going to be marching up against? Is it going to be against
Dean I think Mariner?
Who?
No, I think it's Cobbo.
Cobbo, yeah, Cobbo. So
if it's
yeah.
Cobbo, I get it, but
yeah, it will be Cobbo.
It just doesn't make sense to me why you'd make that change for literally 1 week. The only thing I'm hoping and the only thing I can see happening is Gutho going to the centres and Arcee going to fullback. It's the only possible reason we'd make this move because it doesn't make sense to move Bailey out of position for 1 week. We've obviously known there was talk about the start of the year. He was happy to move. So Arcee goes back to New South Wales Cup, scores 3 tries at fullback, and then we bring him into the centres where he struggled defensively in NRL, in the front line.
I think it's just speaking out about how bad our depth is at the moment, to be honest with you, because I can see in a way what BA's trying to do, because for mine, Bailey's been quite poor for about 4 or 5 weeks now. And I think it gets to a point where you do have to make a stance with that. But the thing is, we just have no one to go in at centre at the moment. Like, we're really light on when it comes to centres and putting a player in there. And then the same at the moment with wing. Like, we've lost Sivo, and it looks like our back line, and we've got, like, completely no depth at all at the moment. So that's the highlight for mine, is that when I look at this team, I just think straight away depth. Like, it's a huge issue at the moment.
So I know you said Miller Stephen is a fullback. Does it matter on which side, which wings he plays on?
Probably not being a fullback.
Yeah, so if that's the case, then you could have put Sean Russell up against Cobbo, because Russell's got that little bit more experience than Miller Steven, and put Miller Steven on the other wing, and then he's up against Dean Mariner.
They changed it the other day during the game anyway, didn't they? Like, they got it out of there, so, and on the other wing. But, yeah, there's obviously lots of possibilities. It just seems like a bloke who's out of ideas, to be honest. Like,
it's confusing.
Like you said, Troy, he is a fullback, so if they've somehow got this plan to put Guthrie in the centres and ask you to fullback. Like, I know Arcee was spoken about as a centre at the start of the year, but Arcee really struggled defensively at 5'8". Your centre position is one of the most important positions in the game. You know, it's where a lot of shape is thrown. Obviously, when you run a block play, it's usually run at the centres to make that defensive decision, which a lot of teams use. It really worries me what they're going to do to him out there. And honestly, if Arcee comes out and terribly defends, it could be one of the last games we see of him in first grade in a Parramatta jersey, in my opinion, unless we get injuries in the halves next year.
How bad was Herbie Farnworth's cork the other day that he copped against the Cowboys? I mean, obviously...
He'll play.
Yeah, I know. I know he'll play, but...
Yeah, I'm looking at my phone.
Oh, he's a pom. So...
Yeah, just ring his family over there, Adam. I think, I mean, he could have a field day in that centre position, the way he's been playing.
He said he's fine, Tommy, not way too much.
he said he's fine, Troy, Herbie. He said, I'm fine, Troy.
Right, okay, fair enough.
All right, yeah. Look, there's possibilities of change around. I just say I'm not a big fan of changing so much if it's only going to be for 1 week. If there's a possibility that Bailey stays on the wing if he plays well and Sivo goes to reserve grade, or if Sivo comes back in and Bailey gets dropped, because like we said, Bailey hasn't been that great a form. But if you're going to do that and bring Arcee in and drop Bailey, why would you just not leave Arthur there? That's the concern I have.
Can I ask you one question about that then? Would we be sitting here at the moment asking questions if he didn't do any changes? That's my only thing about that, because we're coming off a couple of losses in a row and a very poor performance against the Dragons. Is it time to maybe give DA some slack and say at least he's seeing there is some issues there and he's trying to make some changes?
It's not too late. It's not over till it's over.
We've seen these issues for months. We've all known this. We've been calling for these changes. We've been calling him to make changes.
And now he's still whinging about it.
Look, has Gutho played a good game in the last 4 weeks?
No.
Exactly right. Has Gutho been dropped?
No, he's the captain
of your team. You won't do it. Exactly right. But all players should be held accountable for their mistakes.
So which team's captain has been dropped because of poor form?
Kurt Gidley in Origin. Got jobs to the Den.
There probably is some. There would be some over the years.
But someone like the Roosters is not going to drop James Tedesco, who's been struggling this year.
I'm not saying he deserves to be dropped, but what I am saying is if we've got problems in our back line, which we know we have, and we're looking for a spark, and Gutho isn't doing the job at fullback, why has he not been moved? If we're going to make these backline changes, why has he not been moved to centres? If Arcee was that good at fullback, why does Arcee not go to fullback? Why don't we give Arthur a run at fullback? You know what I mean? Like, if you're getting to that desperation stage where you're starting to change things around just to hope we can find something, I believe it means he's out of ideas on what we can do in attack.
So could it just be a team naming thing, but actually on the field that sort of thing happens?
I hope so. We're going to get towed to pieces with our centres and wings.
Can I ask you a question, please? And be honest with this. And sure. I want actually hear your words from this. We had this discussion about a month or so ago about it being too late, it's done the season. And I know at the moment you're saying it's not over yet till it's over. What are you actually seeing from this team at the moment that suggests to you we can actually do something in this competition?
Well, there's obviously some big games to come, right? So there is still a lot of work to do. But you still have time to do it. You're still in the hunt for the eight.
Yeah, but what are you seeing us do? What are you seeing us doing at the moment? The last month of footy, what have we shown you?
Well, not much at the moment. Yeah. Not much at the moment, right? Because obviously the results haven't gone our way. And we've lost games. And we only just beat the Dragons. So not much. Because we would have won those games otherwise.
So what you're saying, Tree,
is... it's over. You're saying it's over.
It also depends on who you're playing against
as well.
So I was running that teacher call and response clap thing. What you're saying, Troy, is you're holding on to the hope of last year and what this team produced last year and hoping they can do it again.
No, because it's a different team to last year and it's a different season to last year.
Yeah, clearly it's a different team than last year. They're nowhere near as good. And half of them don't seem to care. They had their run last year. They don't seem to care this year.
So what you're telling me is that the players go into the game not caring and they don't care whether they win or they just don't care as long as they get paid. Is that what you're saying?
I'm thinking half of them don't, to be honest. Honestly, like, the way some of them are playing, the laziness from them, like, have they shown us anything otherwise? Have they, when the fans have bagged them out, like, you know, they copped a pizzling after that Melbourne game. Do they come out and do, I know they come out and mind the game, but did they come out and prove and play good football against St George? No, they didn't. Look, they could. They could go. They're still copping. They could go out this week and beat Brisbane. If they do, I'll sit back and I'll give them a clap and I'll say, congratulations, boys, you want this. But every time we've needed a response from this team this year, they haven't found a way to do it.
Well, in my opinion, I don't think players go into games to lose games and wanting to lose games. Players go into games to win games.
It's not about wanting to lose games. It's about wanting to push that little bit of extra and finding a way to win the game, which we haven't seemed to do, and putting in those extra efforts. Like, you go back and watch some of our tries over the, like, you know, let's look at the Melbourne game, for example. Some of the laziness from the third man in or the man back on the inside has really cost us. And that's the effort areas they're putting in last year, and there's got to be a reason they aren't doing it this year. Like, it's every single NRL player from teams 1 to 17 can play football. They're all good players. They all want to win games. It's those who take that extra step, putting those extra efforts to actually make their teams better. Simple as that.
And the worry for mine is it's in the club's DNA that after a successful season, the next one's followed up with quite a poor season. It's sort of that's the concerning factor there, is that we can't continue the build and momentum when we should be one of the powerhouse clubs in this competition and basically be in the top four every single year.
Yeah, and look, I'll ask this question now to both yous. Are the Warriors a better team on paper than us?
No.
True?
Probably not.
No, they're not. Exactly right. They're nowhere near. They haven't got the players we have. Yet they're coming out and they're performing every week because they're finding something extra and they're wanting to perform. Their combinations are better. I know if they've been affected with their combinations with Dylan and injuries and stuff like that, and we can continue to talk about this draw, everything, but if we're in the position we're in last year, we wouldn't be complaining about the draw, obviously, because I just think we were a better team last year and we wanted it more. And it's not because of the players we've lost. It's because the players got that taste last year. And I get it. It's physically demanding, the amount of games they played last year. Then obviously a lot of them went to the World Cup as well. But it's honestly, it feels like as a fan, and we're all entitled to opinion, as a fan, it feels like half of them just want the season over. And I don't think we'll go bad next year either. You know, I don't think this is it. We're done. We're going to be a bottom eight team for the next 6 years. But I think our preseason is going to be key in the break these players have. I'd probably sacrifice playing finals football this year to give them a longer break, to be honest, because some of them look like they need it. Yep.
So which one do you want me to call Hoops and which one do you want me to call Michael Carayannis? Because they'd said the same thing. Oh, they're written off, they're gone, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, I don't know. I think that's just speaking the truth, though. Like, that's the thing that gets me in this whole conversation and hearing people. And so you're not by yourself here. I know there's lots of people online who say the same thing. Just as a fan and what I look at, I just can't fathom how you guys are coming up with that, saying that we're with a chance still. Like, we're sitting ninth at the moment, yes, but the footy we're playing is so bad at the moment. It's not funny. Like, it is so bad. Anyone other than the Dragons on the weekend probably would have put 20 on us and get your season done and dusted. Like, this is the stuff that I'm just not understanding.
Well, the next 3 weeks will show that, won't it?
Well, at the moment, really, the Broncos will play.
Well, it seems cliche, but we've got to take it game by game, don't we? And really, like, if the Parramatta Reels turn up that we know can play football, like, look, we showed it on that 5 week run. We need the team that beat South Sydney. We need that team to turn up. It's the only time I've been impressed with a team this year. You know, even when we smashed Newcastle, we should have won that game by 70. and we didn't. We should have beat the Bulldogs by more every time we smashed them. We need that team to turn up against South Sydney. And honestly, when we played Melbourne, I thought we had that team for the first 10 minutes. So if they can do that against Brisbane, I have no doubt we can beat Brisbane, the Roosters and Penrith. But we haven't seen that team for so long. So they need to find a way to bring it back. All right, let's get on with it. Let's get to our this week's game. Obviously, like I said, we've spoken about the team. It's obviously at Brisbane. Troy, you're heading up. You're heading north for a Bronco busting.
Yeah, mate.
Milking any cows where you're up?
Sorry?
Milking any cows.
Don't you just love that one?
I love it. I love it. Especially when we win.
Well, it wasn't, but was it 2017? That was good.
2017.
That was pretty good, but yeah, I'll be heading up there Friday morning for the game at the Gabba. So first sporting event. Sorry.
We want more details. This is an interview. What time's your flight, Troy?
Why? Who's going to be waiting for me at Brisbane Airport? I don't know, but
Probably just your fans.
Yeah, probably. I might be mobbed.
Paparazzi, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. You never know.
People wanting their Power Podcast merchandise signed.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Well, you know, at mid-morning flight it will be.
Mid-morning. All right, so I won't see you at the airport. That's what I was going to say. You can, you know, anyway, it doesn't matter.
Well, you're international anyway. I'm only domestic, so.
Oh, Jenny flying internationally to Brisbane. I didn't know that. Thanks, Troy. We're close to each other. Could have popped over, said hello. Had a Krispy Kreme with you at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Oh.
Yeah, what's your Krispy Kreme go to?
Me?
Yeah.
Definitely the chopped custard.
It's a good shot.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, Joel, what's yours? Chopped custard as well?
Yeah.
That's a good one, man. And you can't go past the original glaze and it's not. And you've got to warm it up a little bit. That's the hint there.
Oh, well, the only time I have the original glaze is the four packs at the stadiums, which I always sell out of it. Combank. Get that one, guys.
Well, considering they don't sell them there, Adam, mate.
Krispy Kreme.
So that means there's two donut suppliers going head to head at Combank Stadium, then Frankie and Carl and Krispy Kreme.
Because Krispy Kreme's set like that, $14 for a four pack. That's how I get Lucas through to halftime. I say, at halftime, we can go get some donuts. And then as soon as halftime, he goes,
Krispy Kreme, if you're listening or watching, hit us up. We'd love some sponsorship and we'd love some donuts.
No, we would love some sponsorship. The amount of food and alcohol I've drank over here, I do not need to eat Krispy Kreme when I get home.
But, yeah, anyway, I'll be heading up there. Okay. Can't wait. First sporting event at the Gabba. I've been there when it's empty on the old tours back in the 80s for when World Expo was happening. Show you how old I am. But, yeah, looking forward to it. A game
You're
on around.
You celebrating your 40th birthday back then, weren't you?
Sorry?
Celebrating your 40th birthday back then?
Yeah. So it shows you how old I am now. Been supporting this team for, 80-odd years, so, about time there. Oh, sorry, 75 years, 76 years. What are we up to? I don't know, 77. My train of thought's gone. But, a game on a round field. I'm not...
You're 77 years old.
Yeah, can you believe that?
Mate, what skincare products do you use?
Oh, it's the...
not very good ones.
Let us in on your routine, Troy. What do you do?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I will. I'll give you the details off air and you can, look like me at 77.
You're just completely distracted. Get back to the game, Troy. Come on, keep this professional.
So, yeah, around field, I don't know how that's going to go, but viewing-wise, but, you always see the games at the SCG when we played there a few years ago now, but that was pretty rough to see. On a round field, Cogra Jubilee, that's a bit rough to see, but...
The NRL loves round fields. They always try and sell the origins there.
Yeah, I know. And so, don't know about that, but...
I don't know why they didn't play this. I know I mentioned this before, but the old ANZ Stadium in Brisbane, which is still up for run, the rugby union still use it. That grand is still there and it still holds like 50,000 people. Like, I don't know why they didn't,
But even some of the stands of that look far away as well. So, just
it's a running, it's an athletics track, but yeah. It's more of an oval than like an actual.
Brings back memories, you know, of 93 when we beat the Broncos 12-8 in their opening game there, Adam.
What was that? Your 50th birthday?
yeah. So
about that.
So yeah, looking all forward right. to it. Can't wait to get up there.
Any shout out? Any meetups or anything you're gonna be at? People can come get an autograph or photos.
Oh mate, I'll try and work out something. I actually spoke to someone at the club on the weekend about that, and also about fan days as well, because I know you guys have been hammering on about that one, and hopefully.
What did they say?
Sorry.
What did they say? Let the fans know.
Well, look, I didn't get a real detailed response, probably because...
Unless you got one.
Well, yeah. Well, this was on entry into the stadium. But, look, the club's had a lot of turnover in those sort of positions in terms of staffing-wise. And to organise things for these sort of events. They are hoping that next year it will get a lot better in terms of having fan days, and also having, for those interstate people, having meet and greets with the players. And so hopefully that's something that they will improve on next year. And also like fan meetups before games interstate and... Well, yeah, and at away games. So, yeah, a little bit disappointing that it's not happening this year, as we all are, and for those especially interstate. But hopefully next year we'll get a lot better.
Watch this space. Did you go on the field on Sunday, Troy?
No, I've been on the field before. It's I just watched everyone enjoy themselves on the field. So yeah,
I saw young Hayden on the field. Throwing a jump around, treating like a football. Imagine that coming off the back fence at you. Fold it in half. All right,
yeah,
Joel.
Hayden was very excited that he gave Mitchell Moses his apparel. So he called him an awesome man, Mitchell. So anyway, what do you want? Game prediction?
There we are. I'm lost. Oh my god!
Hey, what happened? Looking at everyone here, this is a safe place.
Oh no, I think it's all good.
All right, wonderful. All right, well, let's go. Get on with the game. What are you thinking?
Oh fucking hell!
where do we win the game?
I love it when you ask that question, Adam. Where do you think we're going to win the game?
On the oval.
On the oval. Yeah.
Keep away from the cricket pitch.
Yeah, apparently it's a drop-in pitch there, so hopefully that won't cause too much damage. But, yeah, look, I think you guys have talked about it previously, discipline. If we do end up behind on the scoreboard, just can't let that frustrate us and do those silly errors and those impossible offloads or offloads at wrong time. Just... got to get it back to basics, and hopefully then the tries will come if we're behind. The starts have been the problem all year. Need to get off to that good start. Obviously, the game against the Dolphins, there was no good start. That was a great start. And, yeah, this is going to be a top two team. We need to beat them, obviously, to get back into that top eight. And, yeah, it all starts this week.
Wonderful, Troy. Thank you for that detailed preview of the game. Joel, quickly wrap us up.
I was going to say, do we have time for anything else after that? Jesus. Troy, I think you got to start your own vlog, Troy. We can follow your day-to-day, whatever you do day-to-day.
So much going on, Joel. I don't know how I'd be able to keep up with it. So
starting with his skin routine.
Anyway, I just think it's going to be very, very hard. This Broncos outfit is really, really good at the moment. It's on fire. It's a well-oiled machine that is up there with Penrith at the moment for mine in this competition. And we're going to see truly where we're at. We had a sort of a let off with the Melbourne game. We're sort of like, okay, we'll give him one. If it happens again this week, then there is some definite questions that the club and players have to answer.
Lovely. Oh, well, look, it all comes down to this, doesn't it? As I said, this is our season on the line. Matt Nable here. This is what it's built for. No, but if we can't get ourselves up for this game, then we don't deserve, even if we somehow scrape in. And look, mathematically, if we lose this game, we still can scrape into finals. But if we don't get ourselves up for this game and go up there and get a win, we don't deserve to be playing finals football. It's a waste of time us playing finals football anyway. He's entertained tonight. He's very, yeah, more tame than last night, that's for sure.
Have a drink of water again, Adam.
Yeah, no, it's all gone. I drank all my water. It's gone. But, look, how we win it, I actually thought when we played up in Darwin, I'm not going to get started on that, besides the stupid weather conditions and dumb taking game up to Darwin against Brisbane, I thought they got very lucky against us. I thought the bounce of the ball went their way and every 50-50 call went their way. But I actually thought we were in that game with them. So I think, obviously, more minutes out of Wiramu. Often Gowie needs to step up and pull. I need to keep playing the football. I think we can beat them in the forward pack. I honestly think we can do. And it's great opportunities. I think for us to beat them, like every other time lately, we've absolutely destroyed Brisbane. We're going to need Mitch and Dylan to really step up their running game. So for them to do that, we need our forwards to obviously get us on the front foot. So if we're going to go score predictions and straight into it, fuck. It's getting harder and harder to tip this team every week, isn't it? I'm going to say Parramatta 53-6. No, I'm just joking. I'm going to say I think if we win, we're going to light one up and we're actually going to put on a good game. So I don't think we can win a close game because I don't think that we know how to grind out games. It's going to have to be one of those games where everything goes our way, maybe a couple of sin bins or a send-off for Brisbane. I'm going to say
this is longer than Troy's one. Goodness me.
I know, because I'm really trying to give us some thought. I'm going to say Parramatta 32-12. Look, that's being optimistic. My prediction for that is for Mitchell Moses, my bold prediction is Mitchell Moses and Dylan Brown to combine for 3 tries. And my first try scorer is Mitchell Moses. I'm being very optimistic, guys, all right? It's the holy water. Joel, Brisbane by how many?
Broncos by 32 points to 16. Broncos to get it done. I've got to be honest. I'm here to win some points here in this final run home.
I've already won anyway. You can't win.
Adam's already got like 5,000 points anyway.
I forgot.
Yeah, so even if you get everything right this week, you still won't catch him.
True. I'll go bold prediction. Reece Walsh for a hat trick. I think he's going to carve us up.
Welcome back to the Talking Broncos podcast.
Oh, mate, I've just got to be honest with you. I'll kind of tell the viewers.
No, say, come on, time is money. I've got London to explore,
Sean Russell. We'll get away to one of those flies again and then let him back in.
All right, Troy, wrap us up.
Look, I'll go 26-18, Parramatta to win. I'll go my old mate Will Penasini to score first, and he can score a double. There you go.
Lovely. All right, we've got a few questions here, Joel. I'll get you to bring them up. Yeah. First, before we start with Ryan Howard's question. Shall we look at Justin?
Go on, Lee, first.
All right, Ben. Look, I rate Justin Orme. The reason I didn't rate him at first, I thought he was just a hitman and he didn't really do much else but smash blokes and run hard lines. But at the start of the year and last year, we saw him adapt his game, brings a bit of kicking into his game and things like that. And it actually was really impressive. So I haven't really got to see a lot of Melbourne games lately, obviously being halfway across the world and a couple of other things. I don't know what he actually did to get dropped. Anyone answer what he did to get dropped? Is it just they got someone else coming through or?
I think it may be defensively. He's been a little bit poor.
Everyone sees the big perfectly hits. Then.
Yeah, everyone sees the big hits he's done. I think. Well,
we want a 10-year deal, Parramatta. Good one, Troy. Good one.
I'll go this one. Right, I forget what we were talking about here, but why we have
scored. Someone above actually said Trent Barrett.
Yeah, so I think someone said, why don't we sack Trent Barrett? And then there we go.
Oh,
okay. Well, he's answered the question. Trent Barrett doesn't need to go. I don't think he's going to. And you can't expect an attacking coach to come in and change our attack in 1 year. To be honest, I don't think, my biggest criticism every year of Parramatta is when we get to this time of year, we seem to struggle because our attack hasn't changed. But I think there's really question marks about our attack. I think it's just about getting those combinations sorted again. I don't.
About this one, Brandon Center and
half six. I don't like it because
any reason.
We've seen Brown at centres before and he goes missing. I think the most important thing for us is getting Dylan back to actually play 5-8 and getting him back on the thing. Look, I've been waiting for this question. Do you not like Hayden? Look, we all fucking hate him with a passion. is this absolute scum?
Mate, he's been pretty busy. Like, he was at the game on Sunday. He went to the Matildas game on Monday.
Yeah.
So I think he's... Yeah.
It's a hard life when you get all these tickets for free, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It must be all that merch he's selling. Since he gave that shirt to Mitchell Moses, you know.
Here's the thing, Ryan. If you haven't realised this about this podcast, we'll take the piss out of each other more than we take the piss out of our own team. So
and especially, we do like, hey, especially
we
when,
like to take the piss out of it.
Yeah, especially when they're not here. So
100%.
Yeah.
Troy copped a pizzle last week. When he wasn't here, or the week before, whatever it was.
To be fair, Troy cops the weather he's on or off. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm the Buzz Rothfield on the podcast.
We all need a buzz.
What? You're old as fuck.
I've missed out. Troy just was a bit of. I think this is a skincare product.
That's right, yes. Lovely Arbonne products available from my wife. You can purchase those and you'll look like me at 77. There you go.
You had a potential little plug earlier and you missed the boat. So.
Yeah, you missed it. Someone had to provide you. You're in the doghouse.
So
tonight,
just send me a DM and I'll hook you up with some Arbonne products and the link and whatever.
And a hat. You'll get a hat as well.
You'll be in trouble. You'll be copping it again. Buzz.
Also, the dangerous tackle from Dak Lomax. What are your thoughts on that one?
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, it was a pair of socks. to be honest, I thought he should have been a sin bin. And I was pretty – I thought there was three incidences in that game where Dragons players could have easily been sent to the bin with what we had seen – the weekend. So that was concerning for mine. I thought the referee was out of his depth all game. I thought he looked scared to make decisions and he was intimidated a lot. So coming into finals as well, the referees really need to step up their game because it was so inconsistent over the weekend. It was quite laughable.
And it was pointed out on, I think, 360 as well, that he has a habit of doing those sort of tackles as well. And the NRL has spoken to him too, I think.
Well, he didn't do a very good job because he's back in the starting side this week. So, my old inmate, Andrew Davey. So, good on you, bro. Hope you get in and kill him.
All right, wrap it up. I've got to go do some shopping before I get out of this country. I'll see you back next week from sunny Maitland. Ignore what you said then. I don't need any more laughs. Wrap us up. Get us out of here, Troy.
Okay, well, Sorry?
Okay, Troy. Doesn't matter.
Okay, well, thank you very much for joining us on whatever platform you've joined us tonight or the podcast available tomorrow on Apple or Spotify. Enjoy a safe flight home, Adam. Joel, enjoy the game on Friday. Are you heading down to the game?
Nah, unfortunately, I won't be able to. The missus is about to pop, so I've got to be on standby for a hospital trip. So,
okay.
Horrible timing.
Take her to the game. She'll go into labour for sure.
She gets more of the games than I do at the moment. So,
but anyway, and See you all next week. Go Para.